Good evening, everybody. It is May 1st, 2018. I am your announcer tonight, Terry Tackett. You are listening to The Pastor Spot, a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship. It's now my pleasure to turn it over to the host of the show, Steve Whitaker. Hello, Steve.
Hey, Terry, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm doing well. Hey, it's good to be here tonight. Good to be with you, Marion, here tonight. I'm Pastor Steve Whitaker, host of The Pastor Spot. It is a radio ministry of Community Christian Fellowship at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. Our number there is 740-272. No, that's my number. Man, I'll tell you what, Terry, it's been a day.
It is.
The sun's shining and I'm feeling great. Maybe I did too much. Let me back that up. It's 740-494-2222. And our web address is prospectccf.com. www.prospectccf.com. I apologize for that. Has to have a lot on my mind tonight with tonight's show. Some neat things going on that are great discussion topics. If you want to call in, feel free to call in at 740-383-9944. And I got that one right, didn't I?
You did.
But I want to tell you, if you call in, keep it simple, keep it peaceful, and keep it enjoyable. Because if you're negative and if you're mean, you get whacked. So we'll cut you right off. But anyway, you know, the last show that was on previous to this one today, you had some pretty good political back and forth going on, and the show today is going to be on a subject that is really a non-political bipartisan issue. It's not only a bipartisan issue, but it's also an issue that we can all get involved in and do our best at what we're doing with that. And that is the issue of human trafficking. You know, we talk about current events, and they may ask, well, what's the church got to do with, why is the church talking about human trafficking? Let me read a passage here to you in Matthew. It's Matthew chapter 18, and we're going to read verse 6. And many of you are probably familiar with this passage. It said, "But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to fall away, it would be better for him to have a heavy millstone were hung around his neck, and he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Wow. It says, "Woe to the world because of offenses." You know, God loves children. Jesus loved children. He says, "Suffer the little ones to come unto me." And we're in a day and age, I'm sure, you know, that it's gone on a lot before, but we hear more, and I think there actually is more of it going on, but there are so many, this trafficking issue. We've heard of it. We know that Toledo and Akron are major hotspots for human trafficking and the child sex trade. And the reason is partly because of all the highways intersecting that go all over the country. And there's also a lot of rural communities out there that are easy to exploit. Smaller towns are easy to exploit a lot of times than bigger towns. And the ways they do it are quite interesting, and how they get kids to go with them, so to speak. I've heard a lot of different stories about how it happens. A lot of times they look for kids that are runaways, kids that maybe aren't happy at home. They get their own people that are already in the trade to troll the malls, go to places where kids congregate, earn their trust, and then they disappear. You hear of abductions all the time. And I know I was talking to a mom the other night at a ball game, and she saw someone else's child out quite a ways from home, just walking away, a very young child. She said, "Oh, it just scares me to death for that child today." And then, of course, we have this subject come up that we've always had come up when these subjects come up with other adults. Is, do you remember when we were kids, we went everywhere, and as long as we were home by dark, we were fine, or you know, whatever the case, whatever time it was. There didn't seem to be a huge worry about that so much. It wasn't such a worldwide problem. I don't think that that travel was as easy. I don't think it was easy to do some of the things they do now. But I was looking at a report today. It's called the Governor's Ohio Human Trafficking Task Force Report. Now, the governor of our state, signed into law a task force that was put together, and what it's called is it instructs. It's an executive order by our governor, and it instructs state agencies to coordinate services and treatment for victims of human trafficking. And I'll begin in the first couple lines of what he's got. And it says, every year an estimated 1,078 Ohio children are victims of human trafficking. Another 3,016 Ohio children are at risk of being victims of human trafficking. And whereas 13 years old is the most common age in Ohio for children to become victims of human trafficking. And we think about that. Think of your 13-year-old child at home and what can happen. This has been going on for years. I know there was a girl in our neighborhood when I was a young teenager that was 12 years old, and her family went on vacation in Florida, and she was abducted and never seen again. And her dad actually quit his job and looked for her and got involved in these underground things looking for her and just never was able to find her. But the sad thing is they take them other places. And there's a huge market for young people all over the country, all over the world. And they not only send many, many there, but there's a lot of them that come here. And there's all types of exploitation that are out there. It's not just young girls. It's also young boys. It's also children. And it's also being done for the case of slave labor. I'm sure that a lot of people saw that report the other night, the special that was on television about the incident in Marion County with the egg farm and the Guatemalan kids that were here and brought here for basically slave labor. And of course they were found out a couple years ago, and there's been prosecutions in that case. But I'm talking this evening a little bit more about children and safety and the fact that we need to protect our kids. And while there's a lot of things that go on, some things we say, well, Pastor, how can I control what goes on? I want to give you an idea of some things, and maybe this will make you think not just what can I do, but wow, what can I do? You know the difference? One is a negative, give me an excuse not to do anything because I don't know what I can do. And the other thing is, wow, I've got to get involved in this. And there's, to an extent, we can all get involved in helping this problem. But I want to read some statistics. Now, these are from the United Nations Office on Drugs and Crime report of child victims. And it says, human trafficking has surpassed the illegal sale of arms. Trafficking will surpass the illegal sale of drugs in the next few years. Imagine that. Drugs are used once and they're gone. Victims of child trafficking can be used and abused over and over again. A $32 billion a year industry, human trafficking is on the rise in all 50 states, according to the U.S. government. 4.5 million of trafficked persons are sexually exploited. 4.5 million. Up to 300,000 Americans under 18 are lured into the commercial sex trade every year. 300,000 young Americans under the age of 18. From 14,500 to 17,500 of those victims are trafficked into the United States every year. So of the 300,000 worldwide, okay.
Hold on a second. 300,000, that's worldwide?
Worldwide.
Worldwide, okay. Go ahead.
14,500 to 17,500. By the way, these are older statistics. These are clear back in 2012. Okay. So you can only imagine how
they've probably increased, yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
They have a lot. This particular government report that I have is then, but the Ohio report I had was current. But anyway, so 14,500 to 17,500 are people that are trafficked from outside of the United States into the United States to participate in the sex trade. So what we're trying to say here is that that's how many people are being brought in here, and used and abused in a sex trade in prostitution into this country. And we think, what, in America? Oh, you better believe it, in America. Do you know, I was at a training at Ohio State, emergency medical training. A couple months ago, it was a special training for those good old CEUs you got to keep up on. And they were talking about this, about, I was in a specific class on this, and they said that the two of the biggest events in Ohio were, say, they see a spike in the prostitution sex trade from people being shipped into the country or into events. Two of the biggest in the country are the Arnold Classic and the Ohio Quarter Horse Congress. They see a huge spike in young people being brought in for that specific purpose, which means a lot of those people flying into town for those events are taking advantage of these young people. Now, it has no bearing on the event. They're both great events. That's not what I mean. But what I'm saying is we don't even realize what's going on right around us. You know, all those hotels that are being filled up and all the bed taxes, well, some of those hotel rooms and beds are being filled up by people leasing them out for an illegal sex trade of not only adults but of minor children. And it just blows me away. I was reading also that one of the tactics they like to use is that they will give young people that are near the age of puberty injections to put off their puberty, because these people want them younger than the age of puberty, that they demand a higher price. Now, that's pretty sick if you really think about what this is. So I'm not saying all this stuff is doom and gloom and all, everything's so bad. It breaks my heart to see these kids that are out there. And I'm sure, Terry, it breaks your heart, and it breaks God's heart. And you know, these are children that he loves. I want to remind those people out there doing it that what he said about that it'd be better than a millstone be hung around your neck. You'd be drowned in the depths of the sea. I'll tell you what, God's going to have the final word in this, and he truly is. Also, going away from what's going on as far as the trafficking and the moving of children, something that is on a huge increase in the country is that type of thing within people's own households. And one of the things that has always been used a lot when there's things that go on within a family situation, maybe it's an uncle, maybe it's a friend of the family, maybe an horribly so, but maybe it's a parent.
I was just going to say, I wonder what the percentage is of families and friends, you know, that are doing this. It's got to be a high percentage, I would think. I mean,
I would say that most young people today in high school, if you would talk to them and ask them, is there anyone in your school that you know or think that's going on? They really mean,
like, especially you have a lot of, you know, I mean, so I'm sure they would tell, you know, so I'm sure they would open up to you, you know,
and,
you know.
It's a very tough situation for a kid. One of the toughest ones I've seen, though, is when the mom is in denial, or she's so afraid of losing her financial stability or losing her mate that she turns a blind eye.
Well, I seen something too.
Or that.
I'm sorry. I seen something on TV too. It said, moms, watch your boyfriends. You know, these moms are going with these, and they're killing these kids, you know, because, you know, they either don't want the kid or something, and they're hurting these kids, you know, so.
They truly are, and they're.
You know, kind of ties in with what you're. You know,
it really, any type of abuse of a child that's not. And, you know, a lot of times the child, as far as they're concerned, the child is just in the way.
That's exactly what they said. They said they had, you know, different plans and different ideas, and, you know, they didn't want the kid to be.
Well, Mom, I got to tell you that if you're bringing new people into the house, watch them and screen them carefully. Because, I'll tell you something else that you might think is a little bit extreme, but, pay the $20 and get on one of those sites that does background checks. You know, a guy may seem good as gold, but it doesn't mean that he is. And you just don't know. But you know, I want to tell you something out there. If you're a victim,
it'll be $20 well spent. You know, I mean, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Part of this information that I was reading on the governor's task force was interesting. That some of the screening they did, and I know that just in between July and 13th and September 16th. They identified and helped out now 251 kids they were able to reach in and pull out of that trafficking train. And just here in Ohio, between January 15th and December 16th, they identified and referred for services 259 kids. Excuse me. I've got the allergies. They're out there in full force. But, you know, these kids, they're not just going to come up to you and say, hey, by the way, I want you to know that I'm involved in this, or if you guys hear anything on the radio, I'm flipping some pages here that I was looking at, some of the ways that we identify these young people for what they're going through and what happens to many of them. They, in many cases, they really struggle with adjusting to people. Some of the long-term problems are this, sleeping and eating disorders with these kids, sexually transmitted diseases, obviously. Think about that. It happens. HIV, AIDS, pelvic pain, rectal trauma, urinary difficulties from working in the sex industry. These are young kids that are getting these things that they're carrying with them for life. Drug addiction. And that's the big one, because the first thing they do is get them hooked on drugs. That's why they don't have to keep a leash on them. They get them hooked on drugs, and then they just, the only way they're going to get their drugs is to come back from what they're told to do during the day. And there was a girl, the Columbus Dispatch did a huge article, you may remember it a couple years ago, about a girl from Hilliard that had graduated from high school, and she moved into Columbus to just kind of find her way, get a good job, get out of, you know, and she disappeared. She went off the radar. And she lived for, it was, you know, 3 or 4 years. She met someone at a bar, went out. Anyway, long story short, she ended up abducted. She ended up hooked on drugs. She ended up literally living 90% of her life in a car. They would bring her food. They'd take her out to go to the bathroom, put her back in the car. She did at least 5 people, sometimes 10 a day. She stayed there because she had to have the drugs. And the way they finally got a hold of her, and she's one of these people, I'm sure, in this number of the ones they rescued but in treatment, she was involved there when a big bust went on. Now, one thing that really, really has happened that is a wonderful law they passed nationally, it's called the Safe Harbor Law. And if you're a young person, or if you're a person that has been caught up in this and you're listening to this show, or you know a person that's been caught up in this and they fear coming forward because of what they've been involved in, maybe they're involved in prostitution, maybe they're being forced into drug use, drug trafficking, all these things, and you know, maybe the person that is keeping them that way is saying, hey, look, you go to the authorities, you're going to jail because you've been doing A, B, C, and D. Well, there's a new law called the Safe Harbor Law, relatively new law, and what it says is this, that if you're a victim of trafficking for labor or sexual purposes, that come forward, you are not held accountable for anything illegal you were doing during that period of time and forced to do as part of what you did. In other words, so if you're listening to this, or if you know someone that is, or you're counseling or talking to someone, they will not be prosecuted if they come forward. So don't let them believe that lie. They put that one on the books immediately to make it easier for these people to come forward. And what a wonderful law that is, that they're able to do that, because that's one more hold they put under them, like, hey, look, you want to go to jail? You know, that kind of a thing. Another thing that's kind of interesting that I find a lot of times is, I've studied and been to classes on this and learned about it, is that one of the biggest holds put on, especially young children, is, I'll kill your mom, I'll kill you, I'll kill your family, and they put that fear in their mind. I want to tell you something. I can't say this 100%. The people that are doing this to children are cowards. If they're in their home doing this to a child, they're nothing but a gutless coward. They're not going to kill anybody. They're just using that as leverage. And even if they would think about it, if you go to the authorities, they're going to swoop in on them before they can hurt anybody. Don't believe that for a minute. You get help. And if you need to go outside of the home, I got to tell you, that's what we have principals for, and guidance counselors, and pastors, and teachers. We are obligated to act in those situations. And I just want to encourage anyone that's involved in it, come forward. The way that they busted that whole labor ring that was in the chicken farm situation was someone that got out and went forward. And you know, you've got to do it because it's the only way people are going to know. No one knows what goes on under your roof and behind closed doors but you. And you don't have to be a victim of it. And you really need to understand it's not fair. It's not your fault. I don't care what you're told. It's never your fault. You are literally being victimized by someone that is a brute or someone that is evil or mean or wicked. And you don't have to put up with it. And I want to tell you, moms out there, if you suspect it, get to the bottom of it, please. Anybody, whether it's a relative. A lot of times people say, oh, I don't want to turn in my brother or my uncle, you know. Man, I don't want him going to jail. Well, do you want your kids to end up a basket case in their mind because of what's going on? Can you imagine what these kids are going through in their minds? It's so hard for them to even have a decent relationship after this because they got to get things back in the proper perspective. You know, there's nothing, I think, more wonderful than that experience of when you're in love, love, and you're with someone, and you have that, what God ordained as a beautiful relationship. Well, can you imagine going into that? The only thing you keep coming into your mind is the time that someone did something they shouldn't to you. And there's help for those people. You know, there's help for you out there. There's counseling help. There's pastoral help. Take advantage of it. You don't have to live alone. You don't have to put up with it. You know, scream loud. And I think that another thing that we need to do is the people that are doing this, as they've just passed laws to do it, do you know that if you're involved in trafficking of a minor under 18 for the purpose of sex, no matter how, it doesn't matter if how you're doing it, there's now a mandatory 10-year minimum prison sentence. And I think it should be a lot longer. But there's a 10-year minimum. I don't see why there should ever be less than 10. But it takes people that are going to stand up and say enough's enough. What are some of your thoughts on this, Terry?
You've pretty much hit all my thoughts right, you know, right on the head there. I mean, I'm just always baffled by these stories, you know, and you hear sometimes these less sentences, you know, that people are getting, and just the relatives that are doing it, and the people that they put a lot of trust in, and, you know, and just different things. And
well, you know, and a lot of times
it's just amazing, you know, how. And then of course they have trust issues the rest of their life. You know, they can't really, they don't really want to, you know, maybe then, you know, from a church standpoint, it affects you because then maybe they've had an encounter with somebody at church, and maybe they're afraid to come back to church now because, you know, and then well, it's and, up you know, to you. You got to try to, you know, convince them. You know what I mean?
And it's, absolutely. You know, and, you know, it's something we have to be very careful of at the church with background checks, people that are working with kids, even people that come to the church that aren't working with kids. You know, you got to keep an eye peeled and I can't honestly say that I haven't asked someone to leave before because of an inappropriate way they spoke to children.
Really?
Because I have.
Oh.
And not going to go into any details, but I'll tell you something. As a pastor, it's time to protect a flock. And when you see something going on, you talk with someone, make sure that you're not just mistaken, that you know that it is what it is. And if they continue that behavior at all in any way, you can't have them there. Because, you know, if they're not willing to do what's right and act what's right and be decent and be respectful, to young people, to women. Why are they in the church? And why are they even coming? Other than the fact that they want to disrupt.
Well, would it be fair to say this, that maybe like it's your pastoral duty?
Absolutely.
To do that? I mean, you know. Oh, absolutely. Is that a way of putting it? I mean, you know.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think that anyone that's even someone that has had that in their background or accusation that maybe never has been proven, it's your pastoral duty to have an eagle eye, if you know what I mean.
That's what I was getting at. I mean, is it
you can't is tell it their people you can't come to church?
You know, yeah.
But you better believe I keep an eye on the flock, and then we have other members that do. You know, there are certain. If you love people like we do at our church, we truly do. We want to be welcoming and inviting and all those things, but there has to be some lines that you don't cross. You know, I'll give you an example of something neat, though. Say, well, what are we supposed to do with these people? How do we reach them? Don't they have a right to come and hear and repent? No, of course they do. A friend of mine, that's a pastor, he is in Columbus, down on campus, and he's owned some rental properties over the years, some big old Victorian places down there on campus, you know. And he started a church and a receiving unit for people that have been sexual pedophiles and labeled it. And that's who he ministers to. But see, the thing is, they all come there where they don't have anyone to victimize. And he teaches them, and he calls them to a life of purity and repentance. But he has them in a situation where they can't victimize. That's great. But in the church, it makes it hard. You have to protect the flock. But, you know, I get real concerned when I see how many young kids out there are putting themselves in situations of being victimized, and how many parents are letting these kids be in these situations. You know, I've said this before on this show, and I can't reiterate it strongly enough, and that is parents. If your kids are going home with someone for the weekend or overnight, you better know those people like the back of your hand, and they better hold the same values you do, because once something happens, it's too late. It's happened. And we have so much stuff going on in the world, even between the drugs and all these and the other things happen, especially with the fentanyl and stuff out there today. I mean, the contact drugs that people have gotten really sick from. But you just have to, where are my kids going? Okay, they said they're going to the park. Who are they really with? How about I just jump in my car and I'm going to drive over to the park and make sure they're doing what they said and they're who with their, what they said they're going to do and who they're going to be with. But you have to do that. You owe it to these kids. I mean, you love them. I mean, you don't want your kids to walk around with a bunch of issues because of what someone else has done. And you also have to be willing sometimes to take these kids in and direct them in the right direction to places for help. We live in a society that doesn't want to get real active anymore. They're afraid of being wrong. They're afraid of maybe repercussions back on them. This is too important of an issue to not get involved. Be willing to take a little heat if you were wrong, but at least you did something, because 9 times out of 10, if you get to the point that you need to go talk to somebody, you're right. You understand what I mean? Or you wouldn't get to that point.
Well, also, too, I thought about that, just to kind of touch on that, too, is also I think kids, if you're going to stay all night with someone, please be honest with your parents. I mean, a lot of times you see these kids call and say, oh, I'm going to be at Jenny's house. When come to find out, they left there and went somewhere else. You know, maybe to meet a boy or something. You know, be honest with your parents, you know.
Absolutely, kids, you need to be honest. But I'll tell you something you can do as parents that I did, and it worked like a charm. I let my kids know right up front, I am periodically going to drop in on wherever you are. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. You don't know when it's going to be or at which person's house. Well, they tried me on it a couple times. But they realized that I really was going to show up every now and then. Then they knew I better be where I'm supposed to be. Because I know one time my oldest wasn't somewhere where she said she'd be. And she wasn't there. I called the house, and she wasn't there. I just called to say, hey, can I talk to, you know, my daughter? And, oh, she's not here. I said, oh, really? You don't have an idea where she might be, do you? Well, she went with her friend over to here or there. So I went over to here or there, and her eyes were about as big as round saucers. And I said, fool me once, shame on me. Don't, you know what I mean? Shame on you. But fool me twice, shame on you. And and she learned. I mean, but parents, you got to be interactive. I know you want to believe your kids and trust your kids, and we do. And but they need to know that we care about them. And you might think, well, I'm really stepping on their space. No, you're not. Step on it all you want. You got to get to the bottom of the truth. And then there's one area we haven't touched tonight that's really important about this whole thing. And, boy, these allergies are just plugging me up as the show goes on. Please bear with my voice, everyone. But that is this, the Internet.
I was getting ready to say social media, yeah.
About 25% of these liaisons that take place between a minor and an adult that has wrong intentions begin on the Internet. They can sound like your best friend. They can sound like someone that you know. They talk just like you. They have the same likes that you do. These people are professionals. They're making money as professionals. What did I say? How many billion-dollar industry it was? I forgot.
Like 3.6, I think it was, or something.
Yeah, billion-dollar industry.
Yeah, I think that's what I had. 3.6 or something.
Billion?
No. 32 billion. I'm
32
sorry.
Yeah, billion dollars.
I can't read my own writing there.
And these guys are professionals. They're going to sound like your best 12-year-old friend or have a 12-year-old doing it for them because they've got them hooked on something and they know they got to do what they're told to do. And they'll show up at the mall and just befriend you as a great friend. And then they'll talk you into walking over to McDonald's, you know, like at our Southland Mall. There's a McDonald's right there. Hey, let's walk over and grab a hamburger. You get over to grab a hamburger, a van door slides open, you're gone.
Steve, I was going to tell you, you don't know how many times I went through that mall parking lot on a Friday and Saturday when the movies are going, and I see kids congregating outside, no adults around.
Right.
And my thinking is immediately what you just said, oh, my God, what if...
Yeah.
You know, it just seems like it would be so easy for somebody, you know,
or even in our small towns, you know, especially the ones that, you know, don't have a regular police officer in town all the time.
Right.
You know, all they got to do is cruise through town. If your little kid's three blocks from home stumbling down the sidewalk, and you know, the really sad thing about this is when I was reading the figures on this, the abductions in Ohio range from age 2 all the way to, of course, they stop at 18. They go higher, I mean, the people that are once they're in the trade. The average life expectancy of someone that is abducted into this trade is 7 years. It doesn't matter. If they're 13, they may make it to 20. And the means of death is either they're killed because they're of no use anymore. They die of a sexually transmitted disease that wasn't treated. They die of an overdose. Or in many, many cases, they commit suicide. Or they're beaten to death by someone that's using them. None of those are good scenarios. And for a 13-year-old, life expectancy to be 20, what does that say? I mean, we've got to protect these children. God's going to deal with them, trust me. And if you're listening to this program and you're involved in that kind of stuff, hear it from Pastor Steve. You're going to be dealt with. You better be getting on your knees and doing some real repentance because you are going to be dealt with. You can't get away with this. God can't stand it. He abhors it. And for people to be doing this today, it is just sickening. And I as a father, Terry, I cannot imagine even having a thought enter my mind of hurting one of my child or another child. I don't see how these people are doing it.
Well, I mean, my goodness, you're speaking as a father and a grandfather and a pastor. I mean, you know, my goodness, you know.
Absolutely.
You wear so many hats that, you know, of course you couldn't, you know.
I can't imagine it.
And the type of work you do with dealing with children, you know. I mean, it would be...
You know, something else, you know, we have a We have a tendency in our country, especially, maybe in all of them, I just live here, but we have a tendency to hold people up that are in prominent positions, people with money. You know who's at the top of the sex trade?
The wealthy, probably.
The people with money. You could go out of this country and get a hunting trip to another country. Happens all the time. A hunting trip, a business trip, or whatever. And they provide everything you want, including the girls, including the kids, including the whatever. If you want it, you can have it. And when you're on that trip overseas or for 6 months or whatever, bingo, that's what you get. And that's one of the reasons they bring them in here also, is because it's a foreign businessman coming here doing the same thing. These are businessmen. These aren't people that are just in our communities doing this. You know, these are people that are making a lot of money, they're getting a lot of money, and they're people that are exploiting young children, and they need brought to their knees. And, you know, the truth of the matter is, a lot of times people are afraid to investigate because, oh my word, he's a politician that everyone likes, or he's a businessman that does so much for their community. Or, you know what, if you suspect it, go at him with everything you got. Take it wherever you got. You know, don't be shy from this situation, because these are the kids in our community. These are the young people. We owe them everything that we can give them to protect them. And it needs to happen. And I know, if you're listening to this program, I know there's someone out there listening that knows someone that's going through this. Because almost everyone does, or they suspect it. Get to the bottom of it. Maybe you can't do anything yourself, but there's authorities that can, and they will investigate it. And you know what? If you lose a friendship over it, if you lose a family member, look, if that's what they're doing, you don't need them anyway. You know, you just don't. We've got to protect our children. And I look at little kids, and they're just such precious little things. And to imagine someone hurting a child or abusing them, the fear that goes through their mind just breaks my heart, even imagining it going on. That, you know, the fear and the crying and the, you know, being abducted and taken away. And I just can't. How are we not having this as a major issue in the forefront of our country? I'm sick and tired about hearing about Trump and his collusion. I'm sick and tired about hearing about Hillary and her uranium deal with Iran and all this stuff that we get so caught up in and sit there and banter back and forth about. Stuff that is just political fodder. And we've got these young people out there being molested and hurt. This needs to be a number one bipartisan issue. Something all the churches can get together on, it should be, cross those arched boundaries, you know, all of our schools, everyone, and getting together, a unified effort, and say, we're going to protect our children regardless. That's what we need to be doing. And I was just thinking about that earlier, you know, thinking about, you know, we get so caught up and so worked up in our political stuff. This is a valid thing to get worked up about. I know politics are important, but they take way too much of our emotions and our time. Most things are pretty cut and dry. You know, for all the political stuff that goes back and forth, do you know that 99% of us know we're going to vote for right off the get-go and do it anyway? And all that other stuff is just political mudslinging. But here's an issue we could get behind. Protect a child. That's what we need to do. Protect our children. Yeah, that's honoring God. You say, what can I do? People always say to me, what can I do to honor God? What can I do for God? I don't have any talents. I know something you can do. Pray for these children every day. Find out what you can do to help protect these children. Go to a park, for crying out loud, and get together a task force that takes turns patrolling our local parks just to keep an eye out. I'm sure the police would enjoy it if they knew who you were. I mean, because usually they see an older guy trolling a park, they're thinking the wrong thing. But if you got a group of people that you've got together in a task force, and that's what you're doing, and they know you, and they've done background checks on you, and you're a group, how hard is that to do? I mean, those kind of things.
Well, especially it would be welcome this time of year when school's almost out, you know. You really got to have an extra set of eyes now, you know. I mean, everywhere, pools and parks and, you know, everywhere.
You know, and I see, you know, walking to the swimming pool, I see these 11, 12-year-old kids dressed like they're going to play beach volleyball. And, you know, I just think to myself, Mom and Dad, you know, cover them up. Cover them up. Tell them to put a one of those things you wear over your bathing suit.
Like a wrap or something.
Yeah, like a wrap or a little short, you know, a lightweight thing you wear at the beach. Tell them, going back and forth, put that on. You know, you don't need to. You're making them a target, for crying out loud, for these people.
That's the part of the scenario that I've often wondered, is why are they allowed to leave that way?
Home?
Yeah.
You tell me. I don't get it. I don't get it.
You know, I mean, you know, some of the stuff that I see working, you know, when I see some of these young people come in, I think, my goodness, you know, I mean.
Where's Dad? Or someone say, you're not leaving the house like that.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely amazing. I mean.
It really is, and I don't get it. I really don't. But I would just want to say, for whatever reason that is, I don't want to go down that rabbit trail, but what I am saying is this, is that Mom and Dad, cover your kids up. For crying out loud, get someone to take them to the pool. Talk your kids into walking in groups to the pool if they're walking across town to the pool. You know, we live in a dangerous time. Make your kids aware and understand what's going on out there. And you know what? We're about to draw to a close here, time-wise. But you know, here's the thing, Mom and Dad, get them in church, please. As a pastor, as a former youth leader, and I currently work with youth, I've worked with youth my whole life, I see the difference in the ones that get plugged in at church. And you got to save these kids. And I'm just telling you that we have these programs. Don't give them the option. I don't know where we got in this society to where kids told us what they're going to do. I didn't have a choice as a kid when I was told this is something you'll do because you're going to do it. And, you know, I don't want to go to that youth group. It's boring. Well, you know what? So is school, but you got to go. You know, baseball practice, softball practice is hard and it's hot, but you got to go. You know what? I want you to go, and I want you to be there. I'm just saying that, you know, whether or not you're a person that considers yourself religious or non-religious, it's a place that can't hurt, can it, Mom and Dad? It's a help. It's a positive. It's not a negative. I know that people throw the thing out there that, well, you know, how about this youth leader? They caught in this other state. You know what? That's going to happen. There's millions of people out there in the world. There's going to be a bad one in every now and then. Don't look at something that happened in one little place in Arkansas or somewhere as an excuse. How many teachers do you see? You send your kids not to go into school because a teacher stepped out of line? No. Get your kids in church. We'd love to have them. We'd love to show them that God loves them and they have special meaning in their life and God made them for a beautiful purpose and they're beautiful people. Let us show them that, especially if they've been damaged in some way. They need to know they have self-worth. And there's no place better to teach them their self-worth that is under the guiding eye of God in the church. And to show them that God made them specifically because they're special. And he loves them specifically because of who they are. He made them that way. They need to be okay with who they are. And God made them because they are okay. They're special. You know, he made all the fish look all like fish and horses look like horses. But he made people individually, and he made them because he loved them specifically and designed them individually. Hey, the show's gone now. Time's gone. I'd love to see you soon.
Give us the info. Where can they
go? Real quick, you can call us at 740-494-2222. We are also at www.prospectccf.com, and we are at 209 East Water Street in Prospect, Ohio. We'd love to have you. We're 10:30 Sunday mornings. We have Sunday school at 9:30, 6:30 evening service. Midweek services start at 6:30 and 7, depending on which one you go to. And youth group is 6:30 on Sunday night. And the third Thursday every week at 6:30, we have Team Kid. kids from age 3 all the way up to 5th grade can come to that and just have a ball from 6:30 to 8 o'clock at night. So.
And when are we repeating this show?
We are going to repeat this show tomorrow. Tomorrow will be at 3 o'clock or 3:15 right. is when the show will actually come on. So if you've heard it,
so you
know
someone. So if you miss it tonight, then.
Yeah, you listen tonight, you know somebody that wants to come or listen, you needs to hear this show. You know what it is, tomorrow at 3:15 on WWGH Radio. Love to have your input at any time. God bless you guys. Have a good night.
Take care, everybody.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For legendary owner of the Marion Grocery